Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio. I'll be your host, the Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott. Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I'm Carolyn Scott, a.k.a. the Healthy Voyager from HealthyVoyager.com. Not minutes after the ghosts and the bats went into hiding until next year, the holiday commercials and decorations are everywhere. No longer is Thanksgiving the mark of the holiday season. It is now early November, 2 full months of full-blown holiday hoopla. So here we go. Today's show is sponsored by Sunflower Baking. Sunflower Baking Company is a progressive bakery whose products contain only the finest vegan ingredients available. Their goods are made using some organic ingredients, expeller pressed canola oil, and are sweetened with fruit juices. All of their products are free of eggs, dairy, and refined sugars, and they also bake wheat and gluten-free cookies, and they are awesome. Visit them at www.sunflowerbaking.com, and that's flour, F-L-O-U-R, like what you bake with, for more information and to shop online and all that good stuff. My favorites are the shortbread line. Oh my God, so good. Buy a box, but hide them because you'll eat them all in one day. So today we're hitting all kinds of great topics that have really made the big time in 09. Green news and sites, as well as vegan authors and cookbooks. It's as though there was like an eco and vegan explosion in 2009, and there's no sign of it, you know, being reined in anytime soon. And I really think that it's become more tangible, accessible, and relatable than ever before. I know that both topics, green and veggie, for many years could be equated to hippies and communes and lack of personal hygiene and ginormous amounts of bland tofu and sprouts. And sure, that doesn't sound appealing to most folks in the 21st century, but living an eco or veggie lifestyle these days is pretty much a cinch, and no longer is it, you know, a social death sentence. So you can be as green as you want, and it's pretty cool. And green fashion, green homes, green moms. I mean, green is everywhere. And it's so easy that you don't have to move to the woods anymore under solar panels and, you know, do your business in an outhouse. And veggie food has just transformed into this like nouveau gourmet style, what with more and more awesome cookbooks that make it so much easier for the home cook anywhere in the world, pretty much, to make delicious yet nutritious food. You know, 2009 was really the year of rockin' vegan cookbooks. And so much so that non-vegans have run out to buy them. Veg is making it into the mainstream, and rightfully so. I mean, anytime you pop on Ellen or Oprah or somebody's hawking their vegan cookbook or they're mentioning it, so it's definitely not the curse that it used to be. Over the last decade, there have been huge strides in veg product development, recipes, and it's really been remarkable to see that vegan food can kind of run with the big boy these days. I know that my mom was watching Oprah a few weeks ago, the episode that vegan chef Tal Ronan was on, who is actually going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, and pretty much ran out that day to buy the products that he talked about to make the vegan chicken scallopini, and she loved it. So it's been great. Something like that was totally unheard of even 5 years ago, and it's only getting better. So I'm excited. And all of this is because of people like my guest today. They're not only pushing the envelope and spreading the eco and veggie message, but they're presenting it in such a fun and relatable, cool way that it just stops people dead in their tracks, and then they want to listen. You know, all of a sudden it's like the floodgates have opened up, and you know, this time the old freaky topic is now playing a major role in this global zeitgeist. And my bookshelves, I know, are running out of room, and my email inbox is totally overflowing with cool tips and newsletters and all kinds of stuff that I can't even keep up with, but I love it. In my upcoming holiday gift guide and my best of 2009 posts, I'll be sharing a lot of these books and sites and resources with you guys, so you can enjoy yourself well into the new decade, as well as share these with everyone on your holiday shopping list this season. All right, so my first guest really needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. She penned the number one New York Times bestseller, Skinny Bitch. With 5 books on the shelves, 3 million copies in print, translations in 27 languages, 2 years on the New York Times bestseller list, and numerous TV and radio appearances, she has set out to bring veganism to the masses. Veg News Magazine named Rory their first ever person of the year, but her biggest source of pride is being a vegan animal rights activist. Without further ado, the skinny bitch herself, Miss Rory Friedman. Hello, Miss Rory.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, ditto. So, for the few people who live in a cave, what is skinny bitch?
Skinny bitch is an attempt to bring veganism to the masses. I was frustrated knowing all the things that I had learned about factory farms and slaughterhouses and what was happening to animals just so that we could eat them. And I felt really strongly that the more people who understood and learned these things, the more vegans and vegetarians we would have on our hands. And I felt that if we could just package that message in something that wouldn't necessarily give away what it was, because nobody really wants to sit down and read about factory farms and slaughterhouses, and most people don't want to give up their favorite foods. So if we could just get the information out there in a fun, easy-to-read way and a wolf in sheep's clothing, then it would do what it set out to do, and that's to give people the motivation and inspiration and information to change their lives and go vegetarian and vegan.
And you've done a great job of that, attacking people in your sheep's clothing. So, since that's what prompted you to write the book, how did you start the process of really just saying, you know what, I'm going to sit down and write this and get this out there? How did it all begin?
You know, for a long time, Kim, my co-author, had been calling me and saying, let's go into business together. Let's do something together. And my response was always pretty much the same. There's nothing that you and I are going to possibly be able to do together, so get a job and leave me alone. And then one day it just occurred to me about, you know, this gap that I thought I saw in the animal rights movement and in a way that could be targeting, you know, the masses and regular women who watched Oprah and read these stupid magazines. And the idea really just came to me. I don't remember exactly how or when, but it just came to me, and I called Kim and I said, I've got this idea, I want to write this book, I want to call it Skinny Bitch, and I want to go after the mainstream, and I want to hide the message and wrap it in this, you know, chic book and this hip lit kind of thing, and I'll write the book and I'll do all the research that's related to the animal issues, and if you can do the research relating to nutrition, we can get this done. So she was on board right away, and I just said, it's also like everything was so so in line for me, and the universe was really on our side to help, because pretty much from the moment I decided I wanted to write the book and I had the idea, everything just fell into place. I randomly was having dinner with friends in New York, and I announced that I wanted to write a book, and the friends who I hadn't seen in many years said, oh, we just wrote a book. You should check with our literary agent and see if she wants to rep you. And it just all fell into place from there, and everything was pretty easy. The writing of the book wasn't easy, but getting a literary agent, getting a publishing deal, it all really unfolded very nicely, and I think that's a testament to the universe wanting to get people to go vegetarian and vegan.
Yeah, totally. It's done just gangbusters. So you co-wrote the series with Kim. How did you guys meet? And I know that she is more the health side of things, and you're more the animal rights side of things. So do you think that
right.
worked in you guys' favor to do like a good, well-rounded book?
I definitely think so. I mean, you know, we both certainly care about the other issues. You know, I care about human health and Kim cares about animals. But, you know, my driving force in writing the book was definitely the animal issues and that side of things. And I think, you know, also I had no interest in doing research as much as I have learned over the past 16 years about diet and health and nutrition, and I've read every book and every magazine article, and I've studied endlessly. I had no interest in researching these things and getting sources and, you know, doing all the citations and all that for these books. I just wasn't really down with it, and I wanted to just sit down and write. So, you know, it was really fortunate that Kim was interested in the nutrition side of things and was ready, willing, and able to make that happen, and we just set about, you know, making the book come to life. And, you know, she would do her research and just hand me, you know, things that she had gotten, and then I would just sit down and plug stuff in and move things around and, you know, dissect things, ask for more things, and it was a hard process, but it was an easy process also. It could have been a lot worse.
Cool. Well, the result has been phenomenal. Let's take a quick short break, and we will be right back, if you are so inclined, Miss Rory.
I'll be here.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Wendy Malick from Just Shoot Me, here to tell you about Pets 911, a free public service changing the way we care for pets in every community nationwide. Across the country, there are thousands of healthy, adoptable pets waiting for a loving home every day. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting 1-888-PETS-911.org, you will find the location of your closest adoption facility as well as tons of other information you need to know as a responsible pet owner. So when thinking adoption, think Pets 911.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Tessa.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly and dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
And that dress is totally hideous. Disgusting.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it. Don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
AdrenalineRadio.com and AdviceRadio.com. We are back on with Miss Rory Friedman. So, Rory, you are a hugely, hugely vocal vegan. How and why did you make the switch?
Well, I think the only way to be a vegan is to be a hugely vocal vegan. And I know it's hard for us sometimes because we step on people's toes or we become offensive or insulting. But the animals are counting on us to speak up. And I think that we all have to do that. I was actually just out with friends last night at a fundraiser for Animals Asia, and we were talking in the car ride home, and my two friends, Ari and Miko, are such incredible animal rights activists, and they literally went vegan overnight because they were watching The View one day, and Alicia Silverstone was on, and this was years ago, and she somehow mentioned her veganism and PETA. And Ari got up from the TV, went on his computer and started looking up information about PETA. And he instantly pronounced that he was going to be vegan from then on. And his husband, Miko, came in the room and said, "Why aren't you going to work?" And Ari showed Miko all the videos. And Miko said, "I'm a vegan now, too." And just because Alicia Silverstone took the time that day to mention veganism and PETA on television, she spawned these two crazy animal rights activists. And in the car on the way home, they were talking about two other friends of theirs who for years had been vegan. And when Ari and Miko had said to them, "You know, what is vegan? Why are you vegan?" they just said, "Well, it's just a personal decision that we've made." And they never elaborated on that. And Ari and Miko have now said, "You know, why didn't you tell us sooner? There's no telling when we would have gone vegan if you had told us why sooner." So I think it is important to be vocal. And, you know, my reason for becoming first vegetarian and then vegan was because of the animals. I used to eat meat for every single meal. I wore leather. I ate eggs. I ate cheese. I didn't think twice about any of it, even though I call myself an animal lover. And then I got a magazine in the mail when I was in college, and it was a magazine from PETA. I'd probably made a donation to some animal rights group as an animal lover. And I sat down at my kitchen table in my apartment in University of Maryland, and I started flipping through this magazine without really paying much attention to it. And all of a sudden, I was confronted with these horrible images of factory farms and slaughterhouses and of a cow who had been left to die in a puddle of mud with her neck broken. Even though she was alive, she was just left there to die because when her calf was taken away from her at this livestock auction, she started ramming herself against the stall door, and in doing so, she broke her own neck. And there were also pictures of those little yellow baby chicks, those little balls of fuzz, and you know, these guys were just 1 or 2 days old, and they were alive, but they were thrown away as garbage into these clear plastic garbage bags, into these big green dumpsters, just because they were males and they were useless to the egg farmers. So in that moment, I just sat there sobbing my eyes out with meat in my refrigerator and in my freezer, saying, there's no way I'm ever going to be a part of this ever again. I can't believe that I've you know, neglected to see what was going on so that I could eat all this meat every day. And in that instant, I became a vegetarian and then eventually evolved into veganism. And it was the best thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life. And it was hard at first. I remember being miserable the first few weeks or maybe even a few months wanting to eat meat and trying to find my way around. I mean, this was 16 years ago when we didn't have nearly as many exciting products and, you know, veganism wasn't such a big buzzword as it is now. But it really did change my life, and it changed my health, and it changed the way I perceive, you know, the world around me and my part in the world that I live in and what I'm either doing to help or hurt the environment and the planet and animals and people. And I can't thank veganism enough.
I hear you. I know the feeling of just like, wow, what would I be doing now if I wasn't vegan? You know, would my life have as much meaning, or would it be as special? Or yeah, it's definitely something that's life changing. Whether your life has or not, it's still pretty, you know, life changing.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me also, it just really, it gave me that desire to be of service. And, you know, whereas before I was always sort of looking out for what I could get and, you know, how is that going to affect me? And, you know, just sort of saying, you know, and I'm going to use air quotes right now, you know, the sacrifice of not eating animals, even though it's really not a sacrifice. But, you know, the sacrifice of not eating animals, it, I wanted to do that for them. And then, you know, just more and more it became, you know, well, how can I show up each day to my own life and make a difference for animals and also for people and the environment? So it just sort of, you know, gave me some purpose and shaped my life in a way that's meaningful now and not so selfish and self-absorbed.
That's awesome. I think, yeah, that's kind of what it does to you if you have a heart. So
yeah.
in your opinion, how do you feel, or have you seen the books changing people's idea of what vegan actually means? And do you find that it's more favorable now than what it used to be?
I would love to think that, you know, Skinny Bitch and Skinny Bastard and all the other books have played a part in helping bring, you know, vegetarianism and veganism to the forefront. But there's so many books out there that are doing it, and there's so much stuff nowadays that, you know, it's just amazing. I just remember 16 years ago it being completely different, especially with the news, and, you know, you would never turn on the news and see video footage from a factory farm or from a slaughterhouse. And now you can barely turn on the news without seeing something like that. And I think especially with the internet nowadays and with the social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter, there's just so many amazing tools out there for animal advocates to spread the message to regular people who are walking along and living their lives, who don't really want to know, but who once they know will make these differences and changes in their own lives. And I think that, I mean, I feel really hopeful. I'm definitely feeling like the trend is in our favor more so than ever before. And I just think we all need to keep marching full steam ahead and keep doing what we're doing. And it does feel like, as far as, you know, a movement goes, it feels slow because so many animals are being tortured every second of every day. But at the same time, I do think we're making progress, and I think we're making progress now more than ever before. And we just have to keep our heads down and keep marching on.
Yeah, totally. It was a long ways away. It's still a long ways away, but it's getting better.
Yeah.
So after the first wildly successful book, you turned out a ton more skinny stuff. What other books and what other items has the brand come out with, for those who don't know?
So we've got Skinny Bitch, and then the cookbook, Skinny Bitch in the Kitch, and then was for pregnant women, Skinny Bitch Bun in the Oven. Then there was like a little self-help motivational journal called Skinny Bitchin', and that's a really fun book. And then Skinny Bastard for men. And somewhere in there, I don't remember the timeline, we cranked out 3 workout DVDs, Skinny Bitch Boot Camp, Skinny Bitch Body, and Skinny Bitch Booty Bounce.
That's awesome. And are those just are people just going nuts for that stuff too? How do you feel that those have compared with like the original flagship of the brand? Because I know that one's just like the one that put you guys on the map.
I think that, you know, Skinny Bitch was definitely the one that got us started, and then, you know, thanks to the success of that and the you know, the how well received it was, we were able to do some other things. And, you know, that's the one for me that I'm most passionate about, Skinny Bitch and Skinny Bastard, because that's the one that's going to get people to go vegan. As far as, you know, the other ones, I love them. I'm proud of them. I think they're great, and I do think that, you know, they're excellent. And the workout DVDs were so much fun, and they were a lot of work, but they're a good time, and they, you know, encourage and inspire and get people excited to exercise, and that's important too. But, again, my primary purpose on this planet is to get people to learn about factory farming and slaughterhouses and to get them to stop eating animals. So Skinny Bitch and Skinny Bastard will always be my favorites for those reasons.
Very cool. What do you foresee for the brand? Do you have more books in mind, shows? What's next? Anything up your sleeve?
I am tired. It's been 5 books and 3 workout DVDs and a million other things in just a few short years. So I just traveled this summer. I know you're big on traveling, obviously the Healthy Voyager. Got to be voyages for you. But I just backpacked through Europe for 8 weeks this summer.
Awesome.
It was a much, much needed vacation, and it actually got me excited and inspired to do something that's a little bit different than the Skinny Bitch stuff, and I'm excited to give it a try. It's a fiction book that I want to work on, and I'm scared. I don't know if I can do it and if I'll be good at it and if it'll come out okay and blah, 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 but I just am excited to sort of tap into a different part of my brain and be creative in that sense. But I'm always still going to be, you know, promoting the Skinny Bitch brand and working within the animal rights community to do whatever I can, because that's always going to be at the top of the list.
Very cool. So fiction, eh? I'm excited to see. Anything else we can expect to see from Rory in the future?
More vegan food. always going to be eating. No matter where you go, I will be there eating, because I'm still really excited about veganism and food. And my friend Tal Ronan, the conscious cook who was on Oprah the other day, his book is now on the New York Times bestseller list. Or maybe, I don't know if the list has come out yet. I guess publishers get advance notice from the New York Times. But this coming Sunday, it's really exciting. Obviously, Skinny Bitch is still on the New York Times bestseller list. But Tal Ronan's book is on the New York Times bestseller list, and so is Alicia Silverstone's The Kind Diet. So Tal just called me and said, do you realize that 3 books are on the New York Times bestseller list that are about veganism?
That's
so
awesome.
I think that's really exciting. And also, Jane Velez Mitchell, another dear friend and vegan, she wrote a book called I Want, and it's all about her her battle with addiction and recovery and consumption. And I just started reading that, and it's a really, really, really good book. And I'm excited to see that on the New York Times bestseller list also. So especially with her vegan fans and all of her fans, I think we can come to expect that also.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm super excited for all those people. They're all friends of mine as well, and I'm so loving this movement and this explosion of vegan authors and cookbooks and all that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Jonathan Safran Foer's book that just came out called Eating Animals. It's another one. It's like everywhere we turn, we're everywhere, and it's so exciting. It's the most exciting time for animals. Kathy Freston's books are always everywhere also, and she's so incredibly prolific, whether it's writing on HuffPo or Alternet or somewhere else. We can always count on Kathy to keep churning it out too.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's great. All these books are great. Yeah, 09 was definitely the year of the vegans for sure, and I just think people like you and all of these people out there are just helping it happen. So thanks for that.
Same to you. Same to you.
So where can we find out a little more about you and the books and the series and events and all that stuff?
Skinnybitch.net. And I'm on Facebook also, Rory Friedman on Facebook. And I'm always posting animal stuff. It's such a great community, the animal rights community, and I think it really bands together to get the job done. So I'm always reposting what other people are posting or sending me messages about. So I think Facebook's a great place to catch up, too.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Well, you heard it right here. Catch her on Facebook. All right, guys. We'll be back in a little bit. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Rory. I'm sure I'll be seeing you around town.
Yes, thank you for having me, and I'll see you at the next event.
Yes, ma'am. All right, everybody, stay with us. because after the break, we will have the green goddess herself, Zem Joaquin from EcoFabulous.
When people say you're bright, they mean you've got a lot going on up there. It's not something people who use drugs hear much, because over time, drugs can change their brain. And the more times they try drugs, the more they want them. It's called addiction, and it's a disease that will waste your brain. For information, visit StopDrugAddiction.org or call 1-800-729-6686.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell, the nerd from Digital Computer Talk. One of the things that I do is I broadcast on AdviceRadio.com. AdviceRadio.com is a place where you're going to find people who are giving you advice on whatever it is that you might need advice on. Of course, my show, computers. I'm giving you advice on computers, and it's for free. And what about Nick Fedoroff on gardening? America's master natural gardener? Oh, man, this guy is funny, and he's got a beard that, you know, you could plant all kinds of things in there with that beard. It is totally cool. A couple of other shows you want to check out. Healthy Trends. Healthy Trends is all about being healthy. And then Better Times After 50. I'm not 50 yet. I'm looking forward when I get to go on down to Denny's for that wonderful discount. Again, this is Benjamin Rockwell with Digital Computer Talk.
I don't smoke just one brand, 'cause I get mine secondhand.
The facts are in. Secondhand smoke causes lung cancer in non-smokers. Remember, it's your life.
I do.
Secondhand smoke.
That secondhand smoke.
It'll make you choke. Well, that's secondhand smoke.
Help others breathe a little easier. This message from Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights.
To Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. My next guest has been a contributing eco-editor at House & Garden, Domino, Architectural Digest, and 7x7 magazines. She's received the 2009 Global Green Millennium Founders Award for her contributions as a Global Green Board member, co-chair of Global Green's San Francisco Committee, and founder of Global Green's successful annual fundraiser and eco-fashion event. Mentored by William McDonough, Zem is a certified Build It Green design and strategy consultant and cradle-to-cradle enthusiast who helps companies and individuals create beautiful, smart, sustainable spaces and practices. Zem is the eco-luxury specialist for Planet Green's Alter Eco and regularly contributes to various media. Making green more fabulous every day is founder and CEO of EcoFabulous, Zem Joaquin. Hello, Zem.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, it was fun to listen to this skinny bitch because I love her. So
she's definitely fun to listen to and fun to be around, that's for sure. So tell us a little bit about EcoFabulous.
Well, EcoFabulous is the authority on stylish, sustainable living. So what that means is that we really focus on things that are well-designed, environmentally conscious, beautiful, and, you know, at the same time work, and they have to be as effective or more effective than their toxic counterpart or less conscious counterpart.
cool. And I know that I get your daily newsletter, or whenever you show, you send out your cool little tips and things to buy. I know you cover all kinds of things from housewares and fashion. Tell us a little more about what you can find on EcoFabulous.
Well, we're really broken down into five major categories, or at this point, we'll soon have six, but we have beauty, fashion, home, kids, and lifestyles kind of catch all, where you have more travel and the things that don't fit into those other areas, like holiday and gift and media and men, who just don't really fit in. And we're also adding a tours section, which will be tours of homes that we think are just stunning.
Awesome. That should be fun. How did you get your start in the green online world, and what influenced you to get EcoFabulous going?
Well, I was at a company called Splendora. I'm sure many of you know the very beautiful website, Splendora.com, and I helped start Splendora many years ago, and so I learned a lot there with Gina Pell, who is the CEO and just amazing online force, and kind of taught me everything in that front. And both of my children had severe asthma, and I set out on a crusade to cure their asthma, and which started my home remodel, and decided it had to be absolutely stunning, and they wanted to prove that, you know, that a sustainable house could also be one that was gorgeous. And I set out to also show that it didn't have to look like it was eco-friendly in any way. So when you walk in, I never wanted people to feel like I had approached it with, you know, with anything but the best materials. And so that kind of, I was in the process of creating that, and was influenced greatly by William McDonough, who had been my mentor, and just decided that I was going to be speaking at TED about sustainable design, and that I needed to present something online, because, you know, it's a very savvy community. And so that's how EcoFabulous has started.
Very cool. And how long has EcoFabulous been around?
Close to 4 years.
Wow. Awesome. And how much has EcoFabulous grown since it began, and where do you see it going, or where would you like it to go?
Well, I mean, we started with nothing. It was a little typepad blog with 200 viewers, headsters, and now we have major national content partners like Huffington Post and Yahoo and WellSphere, and we reach over 30 million people, so
wow.
Definitely growing. And, you know, where do I see it going? I just, you know, want it to be as accessible as, you know, something that any website where people aggregate content, but, you know, use as a major resource in their lives, where they turn to when they need information. That's what I set out to do, and I feel like we really do that. I want to become more searchable and just easier to access information.
Very cool. What do you think makes you different from other green websites and newsletters and tips and that sort of thing?
Just maybe the empirical research that we do, that we truly test and review everything ourselves, and we have very stringent criteria, both on the design side and on the environmental side. So, you know, we also don't sell anything, which makes us unique. So we're not influenced, you know, by trying to promote something because we'll make money off of it. So that's another thing that differentiates us. And also that, you know, we've always focused only on the intersection of style and sustainability. So we're not really a catch-all. We try to, you know, avoid news because I think, you know, Huffington Post and Yahoo and sites like that do news really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to focus more on products so that you have a resource that you can trust.
Excellent. Yeah, and I trust you guys because you guys always send out some pretty neat stuff, I have to say.
Thank you.
What do you find that is your reader's most favorite topic?
Well, it's funny because it changes, and it's always kind of a mutable subject, but mostly we find that fashion and kind of interior design tend to be our most browsed subjects.
Very cool. And how do you go about, do you guys just, I know you said you test everything, do you just set out every day, like, I'm going to go find the coolest green whatever there is out there? Do you guys just have fun looking up stuff all day, every day, and searching?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I've always done. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's just so natural, is that, you know, I always want to be up on what's out there, what's beautiful, what's, you know, what's kind of cutting edge. I've always been a trend spotter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's very natural to me. I stay up every night, late at night, much to my children's chagrin. I spend most of the night, you know, researching on the web, and then everywhere that I go, I make a little list of things I want to check out. And this is not just me, this is the whole team. Everyone on the team does that, and, you know, that's kind of part of the job is you are constantly researching. And, but that, you know, that's how we started, and we still do that. But you have to remember, you know, I've been an editor of some major magazines. We're constantly inundated with new products. So people are, you know, always sending us, people are always sending us information about products, and then, you know, but again, we review everything ourselves. So, you know, we always say, well, okay, we need, these are the criteria, explain to us how they fit, and then we do our own research as well. So
sounds like a real tough gig getting stuff all the time.
Well, we don't keep most of it, but and we, you know, a lot of the time it's spent in stores. Like one cute thing was I was driving with Caitlin, who works for Eco Fabulous, and we just landed in LA, and we noticed that there was an Eco Pet store. And we immediately tweeted that, you know, that's something, you know, anytime we find anything, we want to share it with everyone. And that was, you know, that was my goal when I started Eco Fabulous. There were no resources with eco design. You know, there was nothing where I could search and find products that were beautiful and sustainable. So I just want to make that information available and make it easy for people to find.
Awesome. Are there any new up-and-coming topics or features we should look out for in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, the big thing that we're doing right now is we just launched this reuse campaign with eBay. It's on EcoFabulous' front page right now, and I think it's really exciting for lots of reasons. One, I learned more and more about DIY, and I did a bunch of really cool reuse projects. So I have some that I some are videos, and then there's one that's a slideshow where I show you step-by-step how to refurbish furniture, and I just love the results. You know, I think the before and afters are really dramatic, and we used, you know, all sustainable materials, but we, you know, we took something that otherwise would have ended up in the landfill, and we turned it into something gorgeous. And the exciting thing is that, you know, you can enter right now to your project, and we're going to get to share lots of people's reuse projects. And you can win a $1,000 shopping spree on eBay. And we also, if you register just to be part of the Green Team, which is eBay's reuse campaign, then a dollar for everyone who signs up goes to Global Green, which I'm on the board of. So very excited about that.
That does sound like a crazy cool program. I dig it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, Thank you. I do too.
I know that you guys are going to have a presence at the upcoming Opportunity Green Conference this weekend. What does Eco Fabulous have in store for attendees of this weekend's conference?
Well, I am speaking, and I'm joining Julie Gilhart, who is the fashion director for Barney's, and also my friend Eve Bahar, who's a very well-known industrial designer. And so we're going to be on a panel that's going to be moderated by Dwell. So I think that'll be kind of exciting, talking about innovative fashion. But Eco Fabulous is going to have a major presence by creating the Eco Fabulous Lounge, which is a place for people to network, relax, get mini Arcona spa treatments, and basically learn about, you know, the Eco Fabulous lifestyle, which is, you know, replacing, and when I say replacing, I never encourage people to get rid of things that they have that are still useful. Mm-hmm. Keep what you have, try to make it work. If you have a dress that's, you know, you think could be fabulous, right now it's frumpy, you put a belt on and it's fabulous, go for that. But if you were going to buy anything new, really there's no reason not to go, you know, environmentally conscious these days. There are just so many wonderful options. And then we have a whole incredible fashion expose, which is the thing I'm probably most excited about, is V Bungalow, which has incredible environmentally conscious designs that, you know, are right off of the runways in Europe. They're going to be showing their beautiful clothes, so that's very thrilling for us.
How neat. That sounds like fun.
Very.
I have a few more questions for you, but we have to take a quick break. Do you mind hanging on for a few secs?
I'd love to. I'll have a glass of water.
Sounds like a plan. Hang tight, because we'll be right back after these brief messages with Zem.
Does your baby weigh over 500 pounds? According to the Environmental Protection Agency, a person must weigh over 500 pounds to safely process the amount of mercury still present in certain vaccines, including flu shots. And yet, these shots are recommended for pregnant women and infants.
The federal government knowingly allows mercury to be injected into children and pregnant women, but encourages it?
Yes, and that's despite numerous scientists from our best universities who have shown mercury in vaccines kills brain and immune cells and is linked to the autism epidemic. One in every six children now suffers from a learning disability.
They're trying to tell us something, but we don't seem to get it.
In 1999, the federal government and physician groups vowed to remove mercury from children's vaccines, but they have refused to honor promises made.
Mercury-free vaccines are available, but I know you have to ask for them. Demand only mercury-free vaccines, especially if you're pregnant or have a small child.
This ad brought to you by MomsAgainstMercury.org. KnowMercury.org. Friends and parents of children injured by mercury.
How many homeowners does it take to change to Energy Star qualified light bulbs? Answer, all of them. And they have every reason to. The bulbs look really cool. They come in spiral, mini spiral, and A-line shapes. They last and last, up to 10 times longer than traditional fixtures. And they use two-thirds less energy. That's win-win-win. Cool lighting, cool temperatures, cooler energy bills. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
And we're back to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSB, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. We are back on with Ms. Zem Joaquin of EcoFabulous. Ms. Zem, so tell us, the holidays are around the corner, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Any must-have green goodies for eager shoppers?
We have so many awesome picks, and we're about to do our holiday guides, and we're going to break them up into different recipients, like the hipsters and kids. But my favorite thing I just saw is this new 479 popcorn kit. I just think it's such a great gift for anyone, especially someone who has everything, or for a family. But they're these organic popcorn kits with multicolored popcorn, really beautiful. And then it has a bunch of different organic flavored sugars and salts so that you can make your own. And then it comes with these really beautiful papers that you can put them in so that they don't get all your hands. It's a really sweet gift. And then I also love the Harmony yoga mat from World of Good. I think that's they're beautiful, and I think a yoga mat's always a good gift for the more active type. I also love Arcona's little 5-piece travel kit, and they have them in all different skin types, and just really beautiful product. For kids, I love Green Toys recycling truck. They have this; it's made out of 100% recycled plastic, and the recycling truck itself has so many messages, and it's a really fun toy.
Oh, cool.
So it's really cute. And also Pottery Barn has a bunch of FSC-certified little toys, like a toaster oven that's very cute.
Oh.
And my favorite gift is Anna Getty's. Do you know Anna Getty?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She's got a book that I actually just hosted a book launch party for her for her new book, Dreaming of a Green Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's a great book that has tons of different things that you can do for a do-it-yourself Christmas, and also just general entertaining, really wonderful ideas. And you don't have to be, you don't have to be religious to celebrate. All the Jews have liked it too.
Well, who wants to throw away a party for party's sake, right?
Exactly.
Green party in that time of the year. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, those are all really good tips. I know that, yeah, I'll be doing my gift guide soon, too. So, yeah, green stuff.
Oh, good. We can share that information. We would love to share yours as well.
That would be awesome, and I'll showcase some of yours. That popcorn thing sounds super cute, and that truck sounds cute. And you mentioned that Pottery Barn has a lot of...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of FSC-certified toys and, the wooden toaster ovens. Mm-hmm. Instead of the plastic ones, they have a wooden version, but it's made out of FSC-certified wood. I mean, you know Plan Toys, the brand Plan Toys?
I have not heard of them. Mm-mm.
Oh, they make beautiful toys, too, and they're all made out of rubber wood.
Oh, wow.
Which is, rapidly renewable, and it's really beautiful.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of great toys out there. I can't wait to do that roundup. There's a brand called Sprig,
mm-hmm.
And they make so many cute little, again, recycled plastic toys.
That's really great.
Very cool.
I dig it. I love all this new stuff. Awesome.
I know. It's exciting.
Well, where can we...
And you have an excuse during the holidays to actually buy some of it.
Oh, totally.
Because I try to avoid purchasing altogether, but during the holidays, I can go crazy.
Yeah, that is a good excuse. You have to buy.
You don't have to. Actually, if you don't have to buy, another thing we love to do is talk about reuse, right? I've started making, for all the kids, I started making little stuffed animals out of my old cashmere sweaters.
Oh, that's a great idea, especially in this economic climate. Not everyone's going to be able to go nuts this year. So great tips on how to not necessarily re-gift, but yeah, reuse.
Right.
Smart idea. Or re-gift without telling anybody you're re-gifting. But yeah, that's a neat idea. Making toys out of your old clothes. Very cool. Well, where can we find out some more about you and subscribe and all that good stuff?
Just go to ecofabulous.com, and if you go to the top right-hand corner, there's a sign-up button, and you can sign up for Zem's List, and that is our weekly newsletter, but you can also sign up for an RSS feed for our daily finds, and if you follow us on Twitter, which we have two Twitter accounts. We have at ecofabulous and at Zem, and you can follow either or both, and that's always, up-to-the-moment information as well, so... it'll be great. And then we'll follow you.
So when anyone drives by something green, you got to tweet. They got to tweet you guys so you guys can retweet it.
Absolutely. We love it.
Very cool. Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on, Zem. I appreciate it. You have such a wealth of information, and I'm hoping to see you guys this weekend at Opportunity Green.
Great. Come in. We'll give you a little mini facial.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Thanks, Zem, for being a part of today's show, and I will see you soon.
Okay, see you soon. Thanks so much.
Sure, thank you. Bye. All right, make sure you visit www.skinnybitch.net and www.ecofabulous.com. You can also follow them on Facebook and Twitter, like they mentioned, and check them out for upcoming news, up-to-date daily tips, holiday gift ideas, recipes, more, all that good stuff. Both of these gals have so much to offer in the world of healthy, vegan, eco, all that good stuff. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter. I'm at Healthy Voyager. And on Facebook, on the fan or group page, just look for Healthy Voyager. I'm there in three different areas of Facebook. Of course, healthyvoyager.com, YouTube, and everywhere else, as well as my social networking site, healthyvoyagerpassportpals.ning.com. There you can share stories and recipes and photos and mingle with other health-minded globetrotters. I would like to thank Rory Friedman and Zem Joaquin one more time for all of their great info today. Please tune in next week to AM 1680 KDSV here in LA, as well as AdrenalineRadio.com and AdviceRadio.com. As next Thursday at 2 p.m., I will be speaking with some pioneers of the veggie movement, with legendary mad cowboy himself, Howard Lyman, and raw vegan radio man, Steve Prusak. Be sure to check them out next week, as well as today's podcasts and past podcasts on healthyvoyager.com or on iTunes. And before we head out, I'm going to play us out with a song by the Veg and Eco Girls of Truth on Earth. These three super cute and super young sisters are just wise beyond their years. Composing, playing, and singing all of their heartfelt songs, Truth on Earth practice and live what they sing about. definitely make sure to visit their site for more information on them, their music, their upcoming shows. They've got a lot to say about what's on their mind, and they don't care. They just want to say it and get it out there. So check them out at www.truthonearthband.com. I believe they're also on MySpace and Facebook and Twitter, so check them out. Have a wonderful weekend and week, and I will talk to you all again next week. Have a healthy one, and please enjoy Flip Flop From the Top by Truth on Earth. Bye.
Time. your financial fitness. I'm Deborah Wetzel. Identity theft is a menacing crime, leaving victims to sort out their credit histories, close payment card accounts, and request new Social Security numbers. Victims cite the amount of time and effort it takes to remedy the situation as their biggest problem. Now Rosetta Jones, Director of Corporate Relations for Visa, tells us where you can turn for help.
At Visa, we recognize that identity theft is an unfortunate crime of great inconvenience. So we partnered with consumer group Call for Action to give people a place to turn. By calling 1-866-ID hotline, victims can talk to trained volunteers and obtain assistance that they need to get their lives back in order. Ultimately, no one should have to deal with the aftermath of this crime alone.
Visa and Call for Action have also developed tips to help consumers safeguard themselves from identity theft. For further information or to access prevention tips, log on to callforaction.org. I'm Deborah Wetzel.
Technology Now. I'm Roberta Fasanelli. Another gambling pop-up ad. If you're not a gambler, and maybe even if you are, it can be annoying. It seems we can't go on the internet without encountering pop-ups. But David Schrader from Teradata says new technology will allow consumers to pick and choose the pop-up ads they want to see or don't want to see.
Grandma doesn't really need to see the workout ads, or children shouldn't be seeing porn ads. So Teradata invented an approach with an icon on the ads, so that consumers can click down and provide negative feedback to marketing people. The net outcome is more relevant ads for the consumers.
Schrader says this will also help those who market the pop-ups save money.
Ads pay the bills on the internet, so they're not going to go away. It's a win-win to use this technology. The consumers get fewer ads, but they're much more relevant, so they're more likely to actually react the way the marketing people want.
I'm Roberta Fasanelli.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly and dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
And that dress is totally hideous. Disgusting.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it. Don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
For many Americans, the inclusion of Theodore Roosevelt on Mount Rushmore seems a curious choice. Many assume it was his vast knowledge of student loans that secured his place. Not true. In fact, when it comes to federal, state, and local government info, Teddy couldn't hold a candle to 1-800-FEDINFO. The people to call when you have questions about anything from applying for Medicare to changing your address. 1-800-FEDINFO, the official source of useful information.
We've never been introduced.
You wouldn't recognize me in an elevator.
We enjoy different sports.
But if you ever need it, I will give you my blood.
Your blood could save a life. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org today.
Change a light? Change the world. Can we really change the world by changing a light? All it would take is to swap a traditional light fixture for an energy-efficient one. Typical lighting accounts for 20% of the average home electric bill. Energy Star bulbs and fixtures produce 70% less heat, making them safer and helping to lower your cooling bills. That's how you can help change the world. Brighten your environmental future. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.